from the Old Testament lesson. Those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. This is our text. First off, let me bring out the thing that I brought for a children's sermon. It's a book. The book is titled The Herman Willig Family Tree. You know what's in this book? Yeah, my family. We've been writing in this book. Would you like to know what we've been writing in this book?
Kids.
Names of children and grandchildren. And birth dates and everything else. We're writing them in the book. And strangely enough, this fits very well in with the Old Testament lesson. A book of remembrance was written. And the theme of a book of remembrance, or it's called different things in different places, Moses talking to God in Exodus, and he refers to it as your book of life that you have written. And you go on through Old Testament into New Testament. You get to the end of the New Testament, and in Revelation chapter 20, it is called the Lamb's Book of Life. And what is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Those who know Jesus, who have called on him as their Savior, those who belong to him. And the name written in the Lamb's Book of Life means that eternal life, heaven being opened, the blessings of God, to be with Jesus forever, to enjoy all the goodness of God through all eternity, that's what is promised for those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We go on from that idea. How did our names get written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, when he called us his own. How did he call us his own? Oh, there we're going to the gospel lesson. Did you notice how strange a gospel lesson that was for the day Christ the King? Sounded like something from Good Friday, didn't it? Actually, it was from Good Friday. Why would the folks who picked out the lessons for the church year toss that in on the day of Christ the King? Aren't we supposed to be talking about the return of Jesus? But you start looking at it a little deeper and deeper still and deeper still, and it starts to make sense. Because how did Jesus win his kingdom? He went to the cross. How did he bring us into his kingdom? By his suffering, his blood, his death, and his rising. A couple weeks back, we talked about a passage from Isaiah 49. How did Jesus write us in the palms of his hands?
By the nails of the cross?
Yeah. He used the nails of the cross. He gave that answer a couple weeks ago, too. So he has inscribed us on the palms of his hands with the nails of the cross. And think about this. No nails could have held Jesus to the cross. The one who calms the sea, who raises the dead, can't be held by nails. He had to be a willing participant in the whole thing. So the nails don't hold him to the tree. He holds on to the nails and the cross, and in doing that, he holds on to us. John chapter 10, Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." John 10:17-18. He was there by his choice. And if he did not choose to be there at the cross, nothing could have held him there. But in holding the nails, he holds us. He holds our sin. He holds our lives. He holds the prayers and the doubts and the worries and the difficulties and the troubles of our lives. He holds the hopes and the dreams of our lives. He holds our calls to Him, our prayers. He holds all of those things as He holds on to those nails. This is what you and I are to Jesus, is nails in the palms of His hands that He receives and accepts and welcomes and does so out of love. So, Good Friday, the hill called Calvary. Who is ruling there? It's not the Romans, though they think it is. It's not the Jewish officials, though they think it is. It is Jesus, who there on that mountain is bringing His kingdom into being. And He is there as the King. When Jesus bows His head and gives up His spirit, what does the centurion say? Surely this man was the Son of God. The confession is pulled out of him, recognizing that Jesus was ruling there. At the beginning, what does he say? Father, forgive them. The King dispenses forgiveness from the place of His cross. He rules there. And in an image that calls to mind Matthew 25 and the separating before the throne of God of the sheep and the goats, there's the two on each side, the one on each side, and the one railing at Him, and the other one saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then hearing the promise from Jesus, today you will be with me in paradise. The King calls the thief on the cross into His kingdom. Okay, as the King, how does He gather His kingdom? You heard this also a few weeks ago. He gathers His kingdom one soul at a time. It has to be individual. And the reason why it's individual, going a little further on this now, the reason why it's individual is because it is His words given personally from Him to you. And you know the truth of this because you know the words of Jesus. And you know that the words of Jesus entering into your soul are the words of God. They're the words of the Savior. They are the words of the Lord Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd. They are the words of your King, and at the same time, your friend. I love this banner in front of us. Jesus, King of Kings, Savior, Redeemer, Shepherd, the Way, Prince of Peace. He is everything to us. Lamb. Son of God. Everything to us. From beginning to end, like the epistle lesson said, He is everything to us. And so, this King of Kings and Lord of Lords has stepped down into this world, taking on our flesh, being one of us, taking our sins, hearing our prayers, carrying us through death into life by means of the cross and the bleeding and the dying. And 3 days later, the rising and the empty tomb and the go tell my brothers, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. This Jesus has become our truest of all friends. He is there for us. He is there for us each and every day. And as King, He rules over all things, and you can trust Him that He will rule this day and tomorrow and the days to come, so that He will work them around into being His own hand in your life. No matter what, He will have His hand on your life. He will do this as your friend. But then you turn that around and you realize that your friend Jesus is at the same time King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who rules over all things, who says, this again from the book of Revelation, "Behold, I am making everything new." It's transformed, and He has done this, and He has made it a kingdom built on the cross and the empty tomb, on the words of promise and forgiveness, on His words in your soul, so that by His words He binds you to Himself, so that when He lives for all eternity, you must also. And then we go back into the Old Testament. The Book of Remembrance. That Book of Remembrance, not only your names, but in God's remembrance, everything that is included in your life, because He cares for every single part. What does He say of those whose names are written in the Book of Remembrance? He says, "They shall be mine." And a sweet message from the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Good Shepherd who calls you His. A promise, "They shall be mine." That promise cannot be broken. That promise is the eternal Word of God. And so we celebrate. Today is the Sunday of Christ the King. Jesus is coming back, and we will see Him. In Jesus' name, amen.